Step 4. Talk to your child in a way that promotes language development. Rationale. How parents talk to their children has a big influence on their children's language development, and this is also true for children with autism. Parents who talk frequently to their children, face-to-face, using simple language about what the children are doing, seeing, and experiencing, who label their children's actions and objects, and who narrate activities as they are carried out, help their children talk more and develop larger vocabularies. Parents who use speech mostly to give their children instructions or corrections limit their children's opportunities for language learning. You want to be sure you are talking to your child throughout the day during both play and non-play activities, and that whenever possible, you have your child's attention when you are talking. So important to talk to your child. So many parents talk about the child, around the child, but since the child is not verbally communicating back, they slow down or stop communicating to the child. Talk about what? The easiest thing to do is simply to talk about what your child is doing. You want the ball? Here's the ball. That's right, roll the ball. Follow your child's focus of attention. You know that what your child is attending to is what your child is thinking about. Put words to it. Here's the bed. You want on the bed? Up on the bed. Time to sleep. Put the words in your child's ear that you want to come out of your child's mouth. Name the object your child is looking at. Name the action your child is using with the object. If your child is looking at what you are doing, describe it. If your child is looking at you, say something. Act as your child's narrator or translator. Name what your child is looking at, playing with, touching, or using. How complex should your language be? For children who are not talking yet, you want to keep your sentences really short and to the point. Limit your language to simple words and short phrases to capture the key nouns and actions of your child's movements. Helpful tip. If you have any doubts about how many words to use, think of yourself as your child's translator and stick to what is most important to conveying the meaning of the action. Name what your child is looking at, playing with, touching, or using. Limit your language to simple words and short phrases to capture the key nouns and actions of your child's movements. Activity. Make your language just a little more complex than your child's. In general, you want your language to be just a little more complex than your child's. If your child doesn't talk yet, or if your child is just beginning to use words, then these 1-to-3-word phrases are just about right. Here are some ideas. Name people. There's Mama. Hi, Daddy. Grandma's here. Hi, Grandma. Label objects. It's a ball. See the ball? That's a doggy. That's the light. Label actions. Bang, bang, bang the drum. Jump, jump, jump on the bed. Splash, splash. Water in the bathtub. Pour the water from cup to cup in the kitchen sink. Water on as your child turns the faucet on. Water off as she turns it off. You can think of a simple vocabulary of the words you want your child to learn, and then use those words frequently, many times a day, until your child learns them. Provide words for the objects and actions your child encounters in daily life. Everything needs a name. Sensory social routines, foods, toys, people, and pets. And actions are important to highlight as well as names of things. There is no need to focus on colors, counting, or letters for children who are just beginning to talk. Those will come later. In the beginning, focus on names, labels for objects, and actions of the objects, and activities that engage your child. Helpful tip. You want your language to be just a little more complex than your child's. This is what we call the one-up rule. Make your sentence one word longer than your child's. If your child doesn't talk yet, or if your child is just beginning to use words, then these 1 to 3 word phrases are just about right. If your child is combining a couple of words, for example, if your child says, bang drum, or big car, then use slightly longer phrases. Yes, bang the drum fast, or it's a big red truck. Just labeling the environment for the child is huge, even if your child can't engage in a reciprocal conversation with you. I think parents get so worried about the developmental level of typical peers that they feel their children need to know things like colors, letters, and numbers, but do not realize they do not have the foundation for it yet. 16-month-old Manuel's parents do an excellent job of narrating his activities. They use a mixture of Spanish and English, just as they speak with others in their family. It is quite important to their family to raise bilingual children, since the grandparents speak only Spanish. Manuel's brother also has autism and speaks both languages well, so the parents are confident that Manuel will also learn both. Here is what Manuel's father says as Manuel is playing with a ball maze on the coffee table. Manuel goes to the coffee table and begins to put a ball in one of the holes that is part of the toy on the table. His father, Ramon, goes over to the coffee table and sits on the floor across from Manuel. He is now at eye level and close. Ramon places a ball, pelota aquí. Ball here, as he points. Manuel hammers the ball. Ramon accompanies with him. Boom, boom, boom. Then he asks for the ball. Dame a papá. Pelota. Gracias. Give to papa. Ball. Thank you. As he reaches out his hand and Manuel gives it. Manuel pushes several balls into their holes. Push, push, says Ramon. Then Ramon picks up the hammer and a ball. He offers both to Manuel while saying, ¿Te quieres, Manuel? ¿Quieres pello o pelota? Manuel reaches for the ball. ¿Pelota? ¿Sí? ¿Ball? Yes? As Manuel takes it, Ramon says, ¡Sí, la pelota! Yes, the ball. Manuel reaches for the hammer and Ramon says, ¿Quieres pello? Aquí a pelo. Then, as Manuel hammers the ball, ¡Bang, bang, la pelota! Then he asks for it. ¿Dame a papá? Give to papá. Aquí, here, as he points to his hand. He says thank you as Manuel gives it to him. Papa's turn, Ramon says as he hammers. 1, 2, 3. Then he says, Manuel's turn, as he hands it over to Manuel. Manuel bangs the hammer. Bang, bang, bang. Ramon offers the ball. Manuel pelota? He gives Manuel all 3 balls, and as Manuel puts them in the holes, he counts 1, 2, 3. 3 pelotas. 3 balls. In this narration, we see all the features we have discussed. Ramon, the father, uses simple words and phrases to describe all of Manuel's actions and the objects that he is looking at. He takes turns with his son and uses simple language to accompany his own actions. His language is repetitive, and his sentences are generally one or two words long, just right for a child who is not yet speaking. He uses sound effects, such as bang, bang, ritualized phrases, one, two, three, and simple gestures such as extending his hand when he makes a request of his son. He helps Manuel follow his simple verbal instructions, and he uses a happy, positive voice throughout. Ramon also joins Manuel in an activity that Manuel has chosen, and he positions himself so that he can easily follow Manuel's actions and gaze so he can label just what Manuel is focused on at that moment. This is what we mean by narrating your child's activity at just the right level for this child. In this episode, Manuel vocalizes only three times. We have not described these here. However, within 1 month, Manuel is imitating many of these words and is initiating some of them as well. One, two, three. Thank you. Ball. Please. Mas. More. Agua. Water. And several other words in both languages. At 18 months, he is well on his way to becoming a verbal child, and at 22 months, he speaks in short Spanish and English phrases, as well as over 50 words, and understands his parents' simple speech in both languages. Step 5. Add sounds to gestures. Rationale. We have been talking about how to help your child do three things. 1. Develop more sounds and words. 2. Develop the ability to turn on his voice. And 3. Make words or sounds back and forth with you and others in vocal play. Mini conversations. For children who can do these three things, the next step is adding gestures to their sounds to increase their nonverbal communications. We talked about how to build up your child's gestures and body language in Chapter 7. Now it's time to put sounds to those gestures. To help your child learn to put word approximations or sounds to gestures, you will need to model the skill very consistently. The procedure should follow these steps. 1. Choose a gesture and a word or word-like sound that your child uses frequently and model them together. 2. Add sounds or simple words to accompany all your child's gestures. 3. If your child is making sounds but not words with her gestures, add word approximations, nouns or verbs, to the simple sounds. Here are some ideas for carrying out this sequence. Choose a gesture and word or word-like sound to target. Pick a sound your child can already produce. Now choose a gesture your child already uses frequently that the sound could easily be paired with. Let's say, for example, that your child has learned to consistently reach or point to an object to request it, and that your child makes many requests by pointing every day. Because you are offering many choices every day, good for you. Now think about what sound or word your child uses that could be paired with a point. Does your child say, da? Is da something your child can repeat after you? If so, it's a great choice for pairing with a point. It's close to the word that. What about ah? Can your child repeat ah? It also sounds a little like that. After deciding on the gesture and word you plan to use, ask your child to hand you things during a game by pointing and saying, "That. Give me that." You have just modeled what you want your child to learn. And when your child points to or reaches for something, before you give it, imitate your child by pointing to the object and say, "That? You want that?" Wait and see if your child will try to imitate the word "that" by saying "ah" or "da" before you give it. If she says anything at all, give the object. If she looks at the object but doesn't say anything, give the object. Model this when your child makes requests every day. Pretty soon your child will probably begin to add a sound to the requesting gesture. Add sounds or simple words to all your child's gestures in the same way. In the gesture games you play, try to add a sound consistently. Boo, when your child uncovers his face during peekaboo. Bye, when your child waves bye-bye. And no-no, when your child protests and pushes away an unwanted food or object. Follow the suggestions we have just laid out before to find a simple word, a sound to pair with your child's gesture. Start modeling it and trying to get your child to imitate it. Your animal sound games and books and your sound effects in your toy play routines are other places to encourage your child to imitate your sounds with gestures. Remember, the first time your child imitates your word and gesture, imitate your child's word and gesture right back. Give the toy to your child as quickly as possible and keep the game going. Don't ask your child to imitate you again right away. It's really tempting, but it's a brand new skill, and it may be really hard for your child to do it twice in a row. Instead, go ahead and take your turn and just model it again a couple of times. Then give your child another turn. She may model the sound as well as the gesture. She may not. But try it again the next day or the next time you do the routine. As it becomes easier for your child, you will expect more of these and you can expect more imitations in a row. But baby steps are the way you will get there. Add nouns or verbs to the simple sounds. Now at this point, your child is vocalizing with gestures and in your baby games and sound games, but he may be saying only an "ah" or a "da." You are still playing your vocal games, right? So your child is likely increasing the number of sounds he is making and can now imitate back and forth with you. So now, after your child gestures and vocalizes with his "ah" or "da" or other sound, imitate back and then model the correct word. For instance, if your child points to a cereal box and says "da," you say "that? Cereal," emphasizing the S. Cereal. And hand it over. Add a real word to all your child's gesture plus sound routines. Ideally, a word that contains some sounds your child can already make and imitate in games with you. After you have done this for a few days, if your child is not starting to imitate the new word, get closer, look at him, say, "Cereal? Cereal? Cereal?" and look expectantly, waiting for your child to imitate. Give the cereal regardless of what your child says or doesn't say. If you and your child have a number of vocal imitation games going, and if you have a number of sounds in them that your child can imitate, her ability to start imitating and adding sounds should come along. Accept any sound match your child makes. It's a long way from s to cereal, but this is the way that all little children learn to speak. They say what they can, and over time, as their speech muscles and skills develop through practice, and as they learn to hear the sound differences more precisely, they come closer to saying the real word. Helpful tip. As you begin to use the correct words for your child's sounds, try not to use the word more or please as a general term for requesting, and instead use the object or action name as the target. This will expand your child's vocabulary and prevent overuse of more. This way your child can understand and start to use the names of objects and actions to communicate. Summary of steps 4 through 5. If you agree with most of the statements in the following checklist, you are now armed with important skills for helping your child build an initial vocabulary. These are skills you will use throughout your child's language learning, building on what your child can already produce, offering new words in interesting contexts, and helping your child expand her utterances in meaningful activities. If you don't feel secure in these skills, turn back to the start of this section and review. Consider asking your child's speech-language therapist to observe your interactions and give you some feedback or coaching with these techniques. Activity checklist. Am I building my child's vocabulary? I talk to my child throughout our activities together, both play and caregiving activities. I speak in simple language to my child, using phrases that are just a word or two longer than my child produces on his or her own. I routinely narrate my child's activities as he or she does them, and I position myself for easy eye contact while doing so. I frequently take turns with my child and label my actions as well as my child's. I add simple sounds to my child's gestures, sounds I know my child can imitate, modeling them for my child and waiting expectantly for him or her to imitate me. If my child easily imitates a simple sound with a gesture, I also model a single appropriate word and wait for my child to imitate it. Caution. Does your child imitate or echo easily? If so, you may find it very tempting to provide the child with phrases and encourage him to echo every word, hoping that he will learn multi-word speech more quickly. Don't do this. It doesn't help. We think it actually fosters more echoing. Instead, base your own word length on the length of your child's spontaneous, meaningful, non-echoed utterances. Your child may be able to echo a whole sentence, but may produce only single words spontaneously. If this is the case, then base your sentence length on your child's one-word spontaneous utterances. Hold your sentence length to 2 or 3 words, the one-up rule, and follow all our guidance. For example, if your child spontaneously says, "milk," to request it, don't tell your child, "say, I want milk." Instead, just say something like, "here's your milk," or "want more milk," or "yummy milk," as you hand over the milk. Focus on slowly building up your child's spontaneous speech, and all should progress well. What you can do to help your child understand speech. At the time they are diagnosed with autism, young children typically understand very few words that the people around them use. Some children might seem to understand more than they actually do, because they may learn to read the whole situation and make good guesses about what will happen next, based on their past experiences. For instance, you may say, "It's time to go to preschool. Let's get in the car." And your child may head to the door. It looks as if your child has understood your words, but you have also picked up your keys and your jacket, as well as your child's backpack and jacket, and these may be the nonverbal cues your child is using to interpret what is going on. Sometimes young children with autism seem to ignore the speech that is being directed at them. You may be doing a terrific job of narrating play, using simple language, and providing language models, but the words may not penetrate your child's attention. Your child may not have learned the importance of listening, or the need to follow through by responding to your words. But you can teach your child to listen and respond to words. It will come. Helpful tip. To know whether your child really understands the meaning of a word or phrase, speak it without any gestures and see what happens. If your child follows the meaning, reaches for the object, follows the instruction, carries out the action, then it is clear that she understands your words. If not, then your child may understand the situation well, but not the words alone yet. One thing I found helpful was to realize when my son was following other cues rather than words, so that I could fade out the other cues gradually. My son loves to go on walks outside, so one of the earliest commands he would follow was, "Let's go outside." By initially giving lots of cues, pointing toward the door, etc., and then reducing them, I was able to encourage him to rely on the words more, and then could see when he was responding to the words alone. One of our biggest breakthroughs occurred when I asked him to get his shoes and take them to the door, and he actually did. At the time, he rarely responded to verbal commands. However, the fact that he'd picked up on the nonverbal cues showed us that this was a highly motivating phrase to learn. The best news about receptive language learning is that when you follow the guidelines we have given you for expressive language development, receptive language understanding will develop right alongside it. The techniques actually develop both sets of skills. Over time, as you follow the techniques we have already covered, your child will learn that speech is important, that she needs to listen and attend to what is being said, and that she is expected to respond when spoken to. If you've been helping your child make sounds with her gestures, you've already been expecting your child to listen to the word or sound you've modeled and imitate it back. You've waited to give your child the cereal until she responds with a sound. In this situation, you expect your child to listen to you and to respond. You make it clear that a response is required, and your child has learned this. This is how your child will learn to respond to other spoken requests you make or spoken instructions you give to your child. In the previous chapters, you added labels to objects and actions throughout the day during your child's activities. These techniques are powerful for building receptive language. Now we will address a different topic, understanding others' instructions. Continue using the previous steps and add these other steps, which focus precisely on understanding and responding to others' speech. Step 1. Expect a response, then get it. Step 2. Be clear about the natural reinforcers of your child's speech and be sure to use them for responding to speech. Step 3. Instruct less and follow through more. Step 4. Teach your child to understand brand new words and instructions. Step 1. Expect a response, then get it. Part of teaching your child to understand is raising your expectations for your child's response. Rationale. When a young child with autism does not speak or understand speech, over time you may stop expecting the child to respond. But a child who isn't expected to respond won't learn the importance of speech. So it's critical to start requiring a response. Activity. Follow through on what you say to ensure a response. When you are focused on teaching your child to understand speech, your expectations and follow-through are critical. For this step, you need to get your child's attention, give your child a simple instruction, and wait briefly for your child's response. If there is none, quickly physically cue or prompt your child to follow through, and then follow with the reinforcer, whatever it may be. The turn-taking routines discussed in Chapter 6 are great examples. When it's your turn, you can extend your hand, say, "Give me," wait briefly for the child to give, and prompt your child to place the object in your hand if the child needs help completing this step. Then you take a very fast turn and give the object right back, so that the child ends up with the object he wanted in the first place. Making gentle and easy but frequent requests or instructions and requiring follow-through is a crucial teaching technique for developing children's understanding of words and their attention and responsiveness to adult speech. Step 2. Remember the natural reinforcers of your child's speech and be sure to use them for responding to speech. Step 2 may sound simple enough, but it's important to choose the right reinforcers, the rewards for cooperating. You need to work with your child's own goals and motivations. So the time to teach your child the instruction, "Sit down," is when your child wants something that you have. Have your child sit down on a small chair or the floor before you hand over the glass of juice she is requesting, or "come here" to go outside to play, or "stand up" to transition from a sitting activity to a fun physical game. In all these examples, the instructions are followed by a powerful reinforcer. They are also physical skills your child already has. Sitting, standing, walking to you. If you provide an instruction right before doing something that your child wants, your child will get used to hearing your instruction and the rewarding activity and words that follow. Inserting simple demands before delivering what your child wants is a very powerful part of teaching the child to follow simple instructions. 2-year-old Alex plays happily alone, and he pretty much ignores his parents' efforts to engage him. As he puts pegs into a little car, his mom says, "Put it here," and points to a hole. He ignores her and puts it elsewhere. He reaches for a pom-pom and Dad sees his goal, picks it up, and offers it to him. "Want the pom-pom?" says Dad. But Alex turns away from Dad and picks up the other pom-pom lying within reach. Dad hands him the other pom-pom, and he drops it on the floor. He turns back to the car, and Mom models driving it while making vroom vroom noises. He blocks her and starts to put pegs in again. Alex's lack of response discourages his parents, and they don't know how to motivate him to engage with them. They decide to use identical cars in play activity and to imitate his actions with one of the cars with an identical one they are holding. As they begin to imitate his actions and narrate, he begins to look at what they are doing. After about 10 minutes, his father holds back for a minute, and Alex looks at him and makes a little emphatic noise as if to say, "Come on, Dad, do it." Dad does, and Alex smiles and looks up at Dad briefly. As they continue to imitate him, they now begin to add a piece to his car. He does not reject this, but rather looks up at Mom and then continues. After a couple more minutes, Mom hands him a peg and he puts it in his car. Then, as he reaches for the pom-pom, Dad hands it to him, saying, "Here, Alex, pom-pom," and he takes it. Dad picks up the other pom-pom, says, "Alex, pom-pom," and hands it to him. Alex takes it. He turns back to the car and puts another peg in, which Mom imitates. She then drives her car, making a vroom vroom sound, but he places another peg. She picks up a peg and offers it. "Alex, peg?" He says, "Peg," and puts it in. Mom and Dad have developed a very effective strategy in this play. They imitate him, narrating and helping him for several turns. And then they place an instruction, for example, "Alex, peg," inside the flow of activities. They make sure to follow through, either by handing it over or by placing the piece, but their play interactions with him are so rewarding that he follows through with the instructions, and this keeps the game going. After another few minutes, his father offers a choice. "Alex, peg or pom-pom?" as he holds both out. Alex says, "Peg," and selects the peg, which Dad then labels, "You chose peg." Lo and behold, he is communicating with gestures, gaze, and even a word imitation. Alex is harder to engage than some young children with ASD, but his parents are persistent. They do not give up, and they find a way to join him in play. Like most children, he enjoys being imitated, quickly experiences the contingency, and comes to expect it. And that becomes the reward for this shared activity. His parents choose their words and actions carefully, fitting them into his preferred activity and being careful to space their instructions out so they follow several minutes of Alex-led activity. Their persistence, their ability to establish a powerfully reinforcing joint activity, and their wisdom at putting simple instructions into the play, directing him to do things he already wants to do, these techniques allow them to begin to work on receptive language, the names of the objects. Within 12 weeks, Alex is playing cooperatively in toddler-type toy activities with both parents, imitates single words easily, and uses about 25 words spontaneously. But what if there is no built-in reinforcer in the play activity? In the example before, Alex's parents find a reinforcer inside the activity, pegs and pom-poms, and focus their language and expectations for Alex's responses on these items. However, if there is no intrinsic reinforcer, a reward that relates to the child's behavior in a routine, You can create one. As you know from Chapter 9, learning happens only when behaviors are followed by reinforcers. How can you create reinforcers where there don't seem to be any? Sometimes you can use activities your child really likes and rearrange the order of household routines to capitalize on the reward power of the favorite activity. For instance, it is a struggle for many parents to motivate their children to get dressed for school in the morning, even when the children are perfectly capable of self-dressing. Think about the reward structure for getting dressed. Is there any? For children who are hungry in the morning and are motivated to eat breakfast, parents can establish a new rule, that the children have to be dressed before breakfast. Now breakfast, which would have happened anyway, gets repositioned to follow self-dressing and can reinforce the activity. There has to be some reward for a child for following an instruction. This doesn't mean you are spoiling or bribing your child, regardless of what others say. This is how children learn. You wouldn't go to work if you were not receiving a paycheck, would you? It's the same for your child. You need to find something your child is motivated to have, a favorite activity, an object that your child really loves to handle, an electronic toy, or even a little piece of a favorite cereal or a sip of juice. Some desired event must follow your child's cooperation with the instruction, no matter how much you had to help, for your child to learn. If your child has a runny nose and you provide a tissue and help him wipe it, the natural thing to do then is throw it away. Say it and help your child do it. Once it is thrown away, clap and cheer for your child, pick him up and play a favorite game in the air, or go back to the very fun activity that was interrupted by the runny nose. All of these will provide rewards for throwing the tissue away. Helpful tip. Follow Grandma's rule or Premax principle. Grandma's rule is first work, then play. Premax principle, coined by David Premack, a professor of psychology, is that when a more preferred activity follows a less preferred activity, the more preferred activity can act as a reinforcer for the less preferred activity. Helpful tip. Think about what rewarding event can follow your child's response. Sometimes the reward might be more logical than naturally related to your child's behavior. Here are some examples. First dress, then eat breakfast. First wash hands, then have a snack. First go potty, then play outside. First put jacket on, then go for a ride. At bedtime, first brush teeth, then read a book. Step 3. Instruct less and follow through more. To teach your child that your words have meaning, you must follow through, happily, playfully, but consistently. So be careful what you say. Be ready to act. Giving instructions without following through actually teaches children to ignore their parents' instructions. If you are not in a position to assure that your child follows through on an instruction by helping your child through it, don't give the instruction in the first place. Fewer instructions with more follow-through often aids children's learning of others' speech. Step 4. Teach your child to understand brand new words and instructions. So far, we've been talking about giving children instructions involving things they can actually do. They are capable of sitting, standing, giving, approaching you, and throwing things in a trash container. You give them the instruction and walk them through it, fading your supports as quickly as possible. Through this process, they learn what the instruction means. However, most of the instructions you will give your child a little later on will involve skills your child does not yet have. Now you will be teaching the skill and the language for it all together. Putting on a coat, taking off shoes, bringing you her pajamas, sharing his toy with his brother. These all involve new skills your child will need to learn from you. The process will be the same. 1. You will figure out the reward. Fun bath time follows undressing. Taking off a coat or jacket and hanging it up on the hook is necessary before entering the preschool room. Bringing you the pajamas is followed by a favorite storybook. Sharing a toy involves getting it back very quickly and getting another one to play with. 2. Then you will give your child the instruction and help her follow it. 3. Finally, you will reward her for following the instruction. Over repeated practice opportunities, daily or several times a day, you will slowly decrease the amount of help you give, fade your prompts, to ensure that your child follows through. That is, you will be giving less and less help once you give the instruction, until you are just gesturing that your child should follow through. Then you will fade your gestures, and your child will follow your verbal instruction and use the skill independently. What about skills that have lots of steps? For multi-step tasks like bathing, your child may need quite a while to learn them all. In this situation, it is often useful to begin to work toward independence by having your child learn the very last step independently, then the last two, then the last three. This is called backward chaining. For instance, you would help your child take off his clothes up until the very last step, shirt off head, which your child would do alone. Once that is mastered, you would focus on the next to last step as well, shirt off neck and head. This is the process we have discussed in Chapter 7, in which you are breaking down the skill into its various steps and teaching each step as its own skill, even while you have your child participate in all the steps so he learns the chain. Caution! We recommend that you not use verbal instructions in the various steps of a chain. The instruction to wash hands needs to mean all the steps of washing hands. Teach your child the intermediate steps through physical prompts and gestural prompts, but don't use verbal instructions to prompt your child to do the individual steps. Otherwise, you are in danger of having a child who waits to be told each step. You want each action to become the antecedent for the next action. So use physical prompts or gestures to keep the chain of steps going, and physical arrangement of materials if you need to help your child through a complex set of actions involving objects. For example, laying out the clothes to be put on in order on the bed, or putting all the pieces for table setting on the table. Summary of Steps 1 through 4. Your child's intervention team will be able to help you figure out how to help your child learn all kinds of instructions. We are really just trying to give you a beginning point here, a place to start after diagnosis while you are waiting for your child's services to get organized and get going, and a follow-through point, a way to work with your child at home and in daily life that augments other interventions your child will receive. To monitor your own learning, see if you agree with most of the statements in the following checklist. If so, You are now armed with important skills for helping your child build her understanding of speech. These are skills you will use throughout your child's language learning, building on what your child can already do, offering new vocabulary words in their appropriate contexts, and helping your child follow through with instructions in meaningful, enjoyable activities. If you don't feel secure in these skills, turn back to the start of this section and review. Consider asking your child's speech-language therapist to observe your interactions and give you some feedback or coaching with these techniques. Activity checklist. Am I building up my child's understanding of speech? I routinely put simple words and instructions into our play and caregiving routines. I monitor myself and consistently help my child follow through with instructions. I make sure there are rewarding consequences that follow my child's successful cooperation with instructions. I foster my child's independence at following instructions by fading my help rapidly. When teaching my child a new skill, I use simple, direct language to introduce the activity. When working with my child, my instructions or directions are balanced by the many opportunities my child has to make choices and have fun with me. We are partners in the process. Chapter Summary. Young children with autism often have significant difficulties using and understanding speech. However, they are capable of making enormous gains in these areas. We believe and have demonstrated in our studies and clinical work that the majority of young children with autism can learn functional, spontaneous, phrase speech. To promote their language development, children need to receive high-quality language experiences and intervention throughout the preschool years. Parents are in the best position by far to provide the greatest number of language learning opportunities, regardless of the intensity of outside therapies. Speech builds on gestures, imitation, shared attention, and vocal and object play. Functional communicative speech begins with these skills. The fundamental techniques that you as a parent can use involve simplifying your language, creating many, many opportunities for the child to engage with you and communicate throughout the day. Using gestures, words, and sound effects in all your activities with your child. Building up your child's repertoire of speech sounds through vocal games involving imitation, sound effects, animal sounds, and song patterns in play. Increasing your expectations for your child to vocalize along with his gestures. And increasing your expectations and follow-through to show your child how to listen and respond to your simple instructions. Let communication routines become part of all your caregiving routines and play routines with your child. Include your child in as many of your household activities as possible. Interacting with others who are speaking to them and doing shared activities is how children learn functional language skills. This is how every child learns to use and understand spoken language. Refrigerator list. Goal. To help your child use language and understand speech. Steps. Raise your expectations. Continue imitating your child's sounds to develop vocal games. Everything and every action and quality needs a name. Use simple language. Follow the one-up rule. Put in your child's ear the words you want to come from your child's mouth. Instruct less, follow through more. 14. Putting it all together. We are coming to the end of a long time spent together. You've accumulated a lot of strategies for directly addressing the learning challenges of early autism. All of these are based on the success we've had with the Early Start Denver model, which helps young children learn naturally by building learning into everyday routines and particularly by incorporating it into play. Children with autism need to discover the rewards of social interaction, because being engaged in activities with others and communicating with them are the roots to all learning, including learning to speak. We hope that by now, with practice, use of the strategies we've described comes naturally to you, too. And we hope, as a result, that you've seen your child turn a corner toward becoming engaged, communicating, and learning, which will lead to success in the years to come. In this final chapter, we'll review the building blocks you've accumulated to give you a picture of how they all fit together in your daily interactions with your child and propel your child along a typical developmental path at this crucial early stage of life. We'll also show you how these parent-delivered strategies can intersect with the early intervention efforts of the professionals who are assisting you and your child. Finally, we'll help you keep the most important principles in mind as you continue to teach your child in the months and years ahead. And we'll steer you to the appropriate chapters to review if you run into any problems with using the strategies you've learned in this book. But first, here are two important bits of advice if you've just gotten started and are worried that weaving these strategies into your already busy life will be too difficult. Carve out moments to interact and play with your child. It's a challenge to use teaching strategies, set up play activities, and arrange everyday activities so they can provide teaching moments. Things go slower. Less gets done. It takes young children with autism time to learn new routines. Working them into these new routines takes time, and your child may protest changes in his or her routines. However, this will become more and more automatic, both for you and for your child. As you practice these routines, they will become like second nature to you. You will no longer have to think or plan or monitor yourself. It will be natural. The same will be true for your child. Young children are flexible and can learn new routines, and they enjoy interacting with parents, and the younger they are, the more flexible they are. Whether it is dressing, mealtime, playtime on the floor, or reading books at bedtime, the important thing is to find interactive time throughout the day to engage your child face-to-face with you as you narrate your shared activities and elicit your child's participation. That is how your child will learn. Take baby steps. Go one little step at a time, making sure there are fun activities, things your child enjoys, rewards for participation built into each activity. You will be rewarded by seeing your child become much more of a participant in family life, learning much more about language and about how the world of your family works. Remember, slow and steady wins the race. Take your time to adopt new routines. The routines are always going to be there. The strategies described in this book should offer pleasurable parenting experiences for you as well as your child. Please share these techniques with your child's circle of concerned others, your partner or spouse, grandparents, siblings, babysitters, preschool teacher, and other caregivers. That way, your child's learning opportunities will increase. Others will have more satisfying experiences with him or her, And you can share the responsibility for helping your child learn among the many people who care about your child. You will be able to talk to others about what is working well and what is not. Your child will learn how to use his or her new skills with many different people, not just one. And each person will bring to the learning situation his or her own style and ideas, which will enrich the learning experience.